Well, shalom and welcome to the second hour, 2 hours of Jewish Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. I hope you've been enjoying the programming for the past few weeks. I point out that the next two programs will be a rebroadcast of more or less the top 48 cantors from the past, from the Golden Age and the early and the late Golden Age. I'll be traveling for a couple of weeks and don't want to miss a beat. So you should be enjoying the programs for the following week. We're going to go back to about 10 years ago, actually, December 7th, 2006. I had with me in the studio a dear friend, Dr. Mutti Friedman. This is an interview, a rebroadcast, and I trust that you will enjoy it. I'm so pleased to have with me this evening in the studio a dear friend, Dr. Mutala Friedman, who's in from Israel. He is the director of the Herzl Museum in Jerusalem. He's a proud member of the board of Cantor's World, as a matter of fact. He's a producer of incredible concerts in Yerushalayim. In fact, he's produced over 20 during the past 11 years at Migdal David, and he's also an advisor for Israel Music. Many of you who purchase CDs under the IM label will recall that you see Dr. Mutti Friedman, who has been the advisor for those. Good evening.
Good evening to you. Good evening to you all.
Welcome to New York. I know you're ready to go back to Yerushalayim.
Yeah, about to go back on Sunday, Bezrat Hashem, yes.
Yes, you were at the that wonderful event this past Sunday.
Oh, wow, it was incredible. Really, to like to see I've never been to many concerts of Chazanut in in Binyanei Umah in Jerusalem, which is big, it's huge, but I haven't seen anything like it, like the Metropolitan Opera full our crowd,
yes,
Chazonas lovers, and the program and the atmosphere. I really feel that it made my trip more worthwhile. And thank you very much for allowing me that joy. Really,
we made a lot of friends for Chazonas that evening. When you think that the thousands who attended, many of them had never really heard a cantorial event or been to a cantorial event, and most have never been to the Metropolitan Opera House, and just the spirit and the feeling that this was a special evening, it was beautiful to behold.
Yes, it was, and also I should say that the selection, which was which was given, was prayed, if you like, or like you say, Chazonas, das Zogen von Zogachts von each my health good. The selection was so versatile, so you could see opera, like real opera, like he did this piece of opera, but also he did Adheno, which is like an operaic stuff.
Yes.
And through the lyric and almost Hasidic touch of Yosele and
Mayim Shemama,
yeah, exactly. I wonder, it's like if it's very interesting. Because Dr. Sobel mentioned that it was written specially in 1929 for Yosele. As much, I think, that another version of this story is that Sophie Tucker was very, very, was about to quit the stage because her mother died. Then this couple, Lynn and the others, so I remember the legend, is that they wrote it to her, and because she was so touched and moved by this Yiddish mame, she went back to the stage and started to sing again.
Really?
And this, song became a legend. But, whether it's Yosele or Sophie Tucker, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. And who cannot
It was a good story.
Yeah, beautiful, yeah.
And this young fella, Sheikh, who sang the Vimale.
This boy, Vimale boy, yeah, wow, he's good.
Yeah, and it just brings about the importance of having these young men get involved in the choirs and
definitely,
singing.
Definitely,
yes. We'll talk a little bit more about your adventures in Yerushalayim with Chazanis, but I know we've put together some of your favorite selections, and we're going to start with one by Malofsky. Why don't you introduce this to the audience?
Okay, it's actually, you know, I truly love Chazanis, and I am, I think it runs in our family for generations, and so on, and I'm familiar with, you know, especially with those in, like, you know, they say, well, the golden age of Chazanis in America and so on. And I truly think that, you know, Yosele was the greatest and so on. And we can talk on and on about other Chazanim. But if I'd had to go to an island, to desert, to, you know, to somewhere in the Pacific Ocean with one piece of Chazanis, I would have taken Ribono Olamim.
Really?
With Malofsky. Right?
With Malofsky.
Not Yosele, not Sirota, not the. But in this one, and not this Malofsky piece of Chazanis is not with his family, like, you know, with Goldale and Gitale.
I couldn't play it on the show, you know.
No, it's not. Actually, this is, like, you know, it's one of those pieces of Chazanis which he did, like, you know, he had, like, Shomea Kol Bichyos, and he had, you know, Veshomru, and where I think is, you know, you can see is how great he was in. Now, why did Ribbono Olamim? Why is Ribbono Olamim so such a hit for me? I think that if anyone wants to send the words of Ribbono Olamim, who actually atatzi v'tanu lakriv korban tamid b'modo, actually that you actually in the Torah you have the mitzvah to bring to sacrifice, like, you know, to bring every day, the daily. Sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash. And then when, after the destruction, when you cannot bring any more sacrifices, then you, the tefillah, the prayer is actually the substitute for it. Now, I never seen any other piece by all the other genius of Chazanis, you know, especially also when he knows, he understands the words and he can see that everything he does is like within gives the full meaning of the meaning of the tefillah. But Malofsky gave an extra feeling in this, like, you know, because this prayer is about, and now that we cannot sacrifice anymore, and you said that the tefillah, the prayer should be like the substitute. So therefore, Yiratzon Fanecha, may, you know, please take us our prayers to be the substitute. And in a way, I never heard any other piece of Chazanis which can really make the meaning of the tefillah, of the prayer, as real as that. And that's why I think this is beautiful.
And Malofsky had a certain quality to his voice.
Oh, Malofsky, you know, you know, I just want to tell you a little story about his voice. When in 1983, I went to visit him in his home, and there was the Goldale was there, and he was there, and I had a beautiful 3 hours there, and I have like a few tapes which I taped, you know, and so on and so forth. And Goldale told me a story. She said that years ago, they did a research, and their voices, they had the alpha, how do you call it, you know?
Whatever. Oh, yes, yes.
The alpha waves?
Yes, yes. Okay. One of the brothers was into that, or an uncle, yes.
Okay, so they said that the alpha voice has like a quality that can cure, it can do something. And they measured Shmuel Malofsky's voice, and the alpha was as big, you know, as strong as whatever. Now, I can tell you what, when she said that, you know, even though it sounded a bit like, you know, odd, but to me it made sense. You know why? Because whenever I hear Shmuel Malofsky sing, it feels good. For me, it's really soothing. It's something. Uh-huh. There's some a cure in it. And so I think that the quality of his voice, he knew the meaning of the words. He knew, he understood it.
And believed it. That's another thing.
Definitely. So actually, if you want a really a prayer which makes you shockle, makes you, like, you know, make your body shake.
Yes.
And you're like, you're davening. It's not just, he doesn't sing, he's davening, and you daven with him. And all of a sudden, it becomes really like you connecting with Almighty in a way which you can't connect in the usual way.
Gotcha.
Okay.
By the way, for my old-time listeners, recall that 1993, I did a two-hour interview with the surviving children, Goldie, and one of the sons.
Avrom.
I'll think of it later. But that was a two-hour tape. I gave hundreds of those tapes of that particular interview away to listeners. It's still a classic. But now let's hear the great Malav Tzvi with Ribon Holomim.
Yakriv korbanatu mit bemoy yohato Yanim bahavoy duso, ulevim beduchono, ulevim beduchono, veyisro. Yatuba voi noi se nu hura vei sa migdo. Yatuba voi noi se nu hura vei sa migdo. Vei sa migdo și hura voi noi se nu. Povuta la tomi, vei lanului hoiem bahavui tu soi, vei loi levi pe tu hoi noi, vei loi, vei loi se ruai, vei loi se ruai, vei loi se ruai pe
that is so beautiful.
Jeez.
Really, I don't know if I ever played that before. I have to look up in my records. Shmuel Malofsky, underrated in many ways. A lot of people don't really know that much. Although I know in Israel they have celebrated his music in the past.
Definitely, and actually, look, some of the hits Abin Yakirli and so on are still hits. But I think that those who, lovers of Chazones don't know really much about the they remember better the family Malofsky, singers of Israel, rather than him as a chazan. And I think this is he's a real chazan.
Yes.
You can see it in pieces like Shemekol Bichyois, Shomru, and Korban Elamim, and more.
I know he was heartbroken over the fact that his daughters were not allowed to sing. At a certain point, they were allowed to sing up to a certain point, and then all of a sudden, there was a strict ruling, no female voices. And I have some things that he wrote defending the... I certainly don't get into this argument with my listeners. It's a no-win, but he did come up with some very strong arguments for being able to hear the recorded voice of a female.
Well, actually, in order not to go into this debate, the only thing I want to tell you is that some of the pieces he did with his family, like Misha Berach, you know, we should have brought the Misha Berach. It's so beautiful. And Megitele does this operatic, beautiful voice of hers in the...
No.
In Umi, it's so beautiful.
Yes, yes. Not for this show, okay. Unfortunately. Just a brief announcement, by the way. Benny and I have decided that we're going to have like a town hall meeting. Schmoozes, I guess I would prefer to call them schmoozes. We're going to have them at different venues. Actually, the first two are going to be at favorite restaurants of mine here in Manhattan. One is going to be at Mike's Bistro next Wednesday evening, and then a few weeks later, the date to be determined, it's at a new dairy restaurant called the U Cafe, which is on Lexington between 93rd and 94th. What a wonderful dairy restaurant. If you haven't discovered this place, it's called the U Cafe, and my friend Penny opened this a couple of months ago. Delightful place, and the greatest desserts imported from Israel, by the way. So that's going to be in a few weeks, but this coming Wednesday, we're going to be at Mike's Bistro on 72nd Street. That's between Broadway and West End at 8:30. There's room for about 45 people. We did put out a notice, and we already got 10 people to sign up for it. It's going to be a $50 price fixed, cover a complete wonderful, wonderful Glad Kosher meal with a drink and everything. It's going to be wonderful. So anybody who wishes to attend should call our office at 718-851-3226. 718-851-3226. We'll see. Maybe it'll be a sellout. Maybe it won't. If it's 10 or 20 people, fine. But the maximum will be 45. I expect that after Monday or Tuesday, there will be no room. If you haven't been to Mike's Bistro, by the way, it's just a delightful, delightful Glad Kosher meat restaurant. A great atmosphere, wonderful chef, and good food, really good food. So, once again, it's going to be a schmooze about Chazanis. We're going to have a dinner. Benny and I will be there. And those of you who wish to come, and we'll talk up into the wee hours as long as he stays open. I was going to do it on a Thursday night, but I figured I wouldn't be able to do my radio program if we did it on Thursday. So Wednesday night, 8:30, but you must make a reservation. You must pay in advance. It's all going to be handled through our office, 718-851-3226. Again, that's this coming Wednesday evening on West 72nd Street in Manhattan. And for those of you who live in Brooklyn, yes, we're going to come to Brooklyn perhaps a month later. We'll pick a restaurant there. I don't know if we have any listeners in Queens or Staten Island or the Bronx, but we'll move this around. We want to have a traveling show. We want to find out what people – in Jersey, maybe we'll even get Jersey, Teaneck, Englewood. There's some great restaurants in Teaneck and Englewood. Again, these are going to be Chazanis Schmoozes or Chazanis Town Halls, as Benny would call that. If you are interested in joining with us, we're going to discuss Chazanis. I might even bring my old record player and play a couple of the old recordings with my 1904 RCA Victrola with the oak horn. Yeah, and just give you a glimpse of what it was like in the beginning. Anyway, enough of that. Mati, let's go back to the music.
Well, I just want to tell you, the listeners, that when I had a chance to listen to a 78 record on this, what do you call it, the troller?
Victrola, RCA Victrola,
RCA,
yes.
Victrola. Listen, it's the first time I understood all of a sudden things which I read about those chazonim, like the warmth of the voice, and it's so different, so beautiful. It's really something which I think this will, once anyone will hear the, you know, any Yosele or Sirota on the 78th of this troller, I don't think he'll enjoy any more any of the new CDs with his.
By the way, if I might point out, you know, many listeners know that my whole love of Chazonis was an outgrowth of my love of collecting old Victrolas. And you see, when the record was made in 1920 or 1916, it was meant to be played on an old Victrola with a steel needle digging into the grooves. And when they then electronically enhanced them, if you will, it lost the original sound, the original tone. So if you come here, I have the original needles, the original phonograph, the original record, and people say to me, aren't you worried about wearing out the record? You know something? It should only happen that I should play it so much that the record should be blank. But
it's worthwhile. It's really so beautiful.
Thank you. Okay, now we're going to hear Yesala coming up. Tell us a little about the next selection.
Actually, the reason why I asked you to put Yosele on is, first of all, because of the relations between Yosele and Milavsky that, you know, I'm sure they all know, and you told them, definitely, you told them about, you know, that Milavsky was, he told me that he was living at Yosele's 8 years as a bachelor.
Yes, and the family used to summer at Yosele's home in New Jersey. He had a summer home at the Jersey Shore.
And also, do you know that the widow, Toibe, which was Yosele's wife, lived, I think, 33 years with the Milavskis after Yosele died.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Same time they lived, you know, actually, so they together there in Lakewood and so on. Mm-hmm. They were like, you know, they were like family. And actually, if not for Yosele, I'm not sure that Milavsky would have gone to be. He told me that he was a shoichet, a menaker, and so on. And so Yosele pushed him to go because he really liked his Ukrainian style chazov sonnet, which he himself was from Biala Tserkov and so on and so forth. So now, so Yosele actually was the greatest of them all in his versatility. He could have been like, you know, an opera singer or like a combination of all those, you know, all those Hasidic songs, you know, also because some of the duets which Yosele did with other Chazonim, including with Milavsky. So uh-huh. I'm not sure that this Yale is with him. I think it's with Levi, his brother. But Yale Tachloneno from the eve of Yom Kippur, Kol Nidrenacht, and it's a beautiful piece, and it does the beautiful harmony. It's a great piece, and so I think to honor Yosele and Milavsky, Yale Tachloneno will be the appropriate piece.
I think it's also appropriate that our honoree at the event this past Sunday, who was Yossi Peleg Billig, our dear friend and supporter, loves duets, and I said to Benny, one day we have to do a concert just of duets or primarily of duets. Have you ever done one of those in Israel?
Closed, yes. But actually, when we speak about the concert in Midan okay. David, I'll tell you about
okay.
it, yes.
Fine. Okay, so let's hear Yosele Rosenblatt with Yale.
Thank you.
selection, Yale. Well, for those of you who may have tuned in a little late, we're having a conversation with my good friend, Dr. Mutti Friedman. Dr. Mutti Friedman, yes. Got his PhD here in Columbia University a few years ago when we first met.
Right.
And you've been doing some wonderful productions of cantorial concerts of Chazonis at the Migdal David.
Yes.
You've run about 20 in the last 11 years.
Well, actually, in Migdal David I did once a year, but then it's an interesting thing has to do with Yiddish, because when the big Aliyah came from the former Soviet Union, like, you know, 89, 90, after Glasnost, Perestroika, and so on, you know, that the common ground between many of the Soviet Olim and the Israel and the peers in Israel was Yiddish, and it's really so moving, and that, you know, they did not have a chance to pray or to be in touch with Judaism, but somehow the pintele hid in them was the Yiddish.
Yiddish.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and so actually it was an initiation of, there was an MK at the time, Mr. Weinberg, who came to me and said that, you know, and he raised some money, like, you know, from different organizations. So we started to do concerts, and it was, and the selection was those, like, you know, ancient, old, you know, Yiddish songs, mm-hmm. Yankale, you know, Gebirtiks and so on.
Yes.
Yankale and Moishele and Yilishemame and Prepichik and the Alte Chazen and mm-hmm. the Yiddish Lied. And it was a smashing success. So we had five of them. So the 20 altogether was every year in Migdal David. And then it was, funnily enough, it was in Germany. They asked us to do, like, they called us. So we did
really?
Twice in Frankfurt and once in Stuttgart. We did, like, so altogether there are 20 concerts of Chazonis in Yiddish.
Right? Now, what's happening in Israel with Chazonis? What's your assessment of
well,
the situation?
Well, it's interesting because the Yiddish Chazonis lovers, starting, you know, it's not just religious people. You can see sometimes the people don't come to the concert hall with, like, those, you know, people you can see that definitely not Chassidim, not mm-hmm. even, so they come,
they're secular.
Yeah, uh-huh. Secular, yeah.
We have a few of them ourselves.
Okay. Yeah. That's secular, and not only that, you have young seculars, which did not have a chance to hear, to get, you know, to get any education, or mm-hmm. it's not part of their routine, or it's not part of their relationship with the Almighty. They just love it. And, you know, a good friend of mine, she never thought he liked Chazonis and so on. He heard once Elfgut. And since then, he goes after Elfgut wherever he appears in concert all over Israel. It's very interesting. I won't mention his name. He's famous in Israel.
Uh-huh.
And he's not religious. But anyways, the thing is that what really hurts me is that you can't hear Chazonis in shuls. In Jerusalem, you have two, Heinowitz and Herzig. That's it. In Tel Aviv, you have, like, you know, one and a half. Petah Tikva, little Tanya. But, you know, you have in New York more Chazonim, more Chazon in the Shul than more than entire Eretz Israel.
Really?
Yeah. Now, but on the other hand, the Tel Aviv Institute of Chazonis, Erstiks, is very successful. You have, like, really, the future is there. And you have so many talented Chazonim. They do a wonderful job. And they
that's the TACI, the Tel Aviv Cantorial Institute.
Yeah, it's not only that. I want to be fair, the others too, but this one I know,
yes.
Know personally.
Well, the reason I'm mentioning is because they're going to be coming in February.
To the Shabbos, yeah, I've heard you, and yes. I really envy you, because yes. They are, I want to tell you, to see Naftali Erstik, you know, work with his choir,
yes.
It's really a treat.
We had them 3 years ago, and we
the
were
much
just,
better.
Well, yes, but we had such talents that were there. I mean, it was awesome in a way. Each young voice was more beautiful than the next.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know what? Maybe we should, the next election, we should hear Yecheskel Klang, who is okay. One of those graduates mm-hmm. of the Chelm. And if we can hear him do any of the Reutmanns on his, it'll be great. Because I'll tell you what, when we did, one of the concerts we did in Migdal David was the Ukrainian Chazonim. We had three Chazonim, Glantz, Pinchik, and Reutmann. And we spoke about them and the similarities and differences and what makes the Ukrainian chazon.
Ukrainian?
From Ukraine, right.
Pinchuk was from Ukraine?
Pinchuk was from Ukraine, and Reutemann was from Ukraine, and Glantz. And Klang did one of the Reutemanns, and I couldn't help myself. I was the MC. I told them, when I close my eyes, I can hear when Klang sings. It's like I met my, like, you know, study, listen to one of the Reutemanns, 78s.
Yes.
It was so beautiful. So actually, you in the beginning, when you introduced chazones, you said, like, you know, the old chazones, the current chazones, and the future. So I think we should really talk about the future for a minute, and Klang can really represent that.
Okay, that'll come after this next selection. Let's hear, we're going to hear the great Gershon Sirota with Vashomru. And many of the listeners know that Sirota is one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorites. But tonight we've hit Malofsky, of course. Rosenblatt is a given. Yeah. But Sirota, there's something.
Can I like to say.
Bavakasha.
First of all, about Sirota. You know, like, when you read about Sirota, people are describing Sirota. They speak about this huge, huge, huge voice. You know, that people like Caruso and the others said that, you know, they are so happy that he is a chazan, not an opera singer, because he would have been the greatest. And they, what I want to tell you is that when you hear Sirota on a trawler, you can understand better Sirota when you hear him from a CD. The depth of his voice and the volume of the voice comes much better on the Victrola.
On the Victrola, and you know, it's a shame because they were so primitive in a way. When you think of the advancements in recording instruments, from these were all from the '20s,
right? Sirota is before. Sirota,
1915, 20.
No. Actually, look, a survey came out of the early recordings, which I prepared a beautiful presentation.
Yes.
And actually, so some say, like, you know, Akiva Zimmerman thinks that Baruch Shor was the first recorder because he made the calculation that he could not have been, but early and late in the 19th century, while Sirota started in 1902, 1903, actually early. Now, next to Sirota came Kvartin. And next to Kvartin came Yosele. So these are the trio, actually, who led the recordings, the early recordings.
Sirota, Kvartin, and
Sirota, Kvartin. There's something sure. Now, there were others in Yiddish. There were others, too. But the point I want to make is about the selection of Shomru and about this entire business of recording. Pini Minkowski was a chazan in Odessa. He was a vehement fighter, really a protester. He said that chazan should not record, do recording, nor should he go, you know, playing concerts. He should
be by the way, Rutman, we had the same problem. He only made a couple of recordings, that was it.
Okay, but you see, so Minkowski is a very sad story, because eventually he came here, and, you know, all those people he fought against helped him to do this concert, but eventually he died afterwards, and so on, very poor and so on. But this is not the point I'm trying to make. What I'm trying to make is that at the time when people did not really understand why he's so vehemently, like, what is such a fighter against it.
Against recording.
Against recording and against Sirota and Kvartin. Some say he was jealous at him. He didn't want him to be a second chazan in Odessa. Then therefore he went to Warsaw, to Vilna, and so on. Anyways, in his book, Kvartin, you know, my Leben, Kvartin writes that one of the reasons which Minkowski was against Sirota is because once a soldier came up to him in Odessa after davening, Shabbos, told him how much he loves chazones and how great it was. So he told him, who else did you hear? So he said, I heard Sirota, Du Veshomru. So he said, where did you hear Sirota? So he said, I heard him on a 78. Where? So he says, in a house which is not a home.
So it was the setting that disturbed him.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to go into it. Okay. But it was not a kosher place.
I see.
So anyways, so he said, so this is the case. Anyway, and also, and it was against the Kvartin. Eventually, I think he made peace with them. He loved them and so on and so forth. Now, But this Vishombo, so A, this is the story about it, which Kvatin tells us. The other one thing is that this is one of the pieces of Chazonish which I could never understand. It's very, it's almost eclectic. You know, you can hear it soon and you'll see what it is. And also, I don't know whether you know, but have you ever heard Sirota doing Kopstime, like for the falsetto?
Yes.
Well, which one?
Don't test me. I've heard him.
Okay, so I'm telling you that I tested a few chazonim. None of them knew that he had the falsetto, and he in Vishomru, he had it.
Okay.
Because he was so big, so huge, you know, that people think he didn't have it. Now, so let's hear him and see.
Okay. Vishomru, Sirota. Well, after that build-up, I brought the wrong Vishomru. Oh, well.
It doesn't matter, Charlie. It's a beautiful Vishomru we've just heard. But the other one, as I said, goes differently. It goes Vishomru b'nei Yisro
b'leves ha'shav. I'll play that version.
And it ends with the pianissimo. It ends with the falsetto.
Okay, what can we do? That's showbiz. You mentioned Klang.
Yeah. Heskel Klang is actually one of those Neftali Hershtik's Talmidim, like a disciple of his. And he's very talented. And as I said, he has, I think, he has the quality of the Once Upon a Time Chazonim. And as I said, when I close my eyes, I can see, I can hear Reutemann. So I think, if no further ado, let's hear Chesed Klang does Misha Oso Nisim Reutemann's.
Oh,
Yecheskel Klang. Before we say good evening to our friend, Dr. Moti Friedman, let me remind you that the Shabbat Chazanut on February 9th to 11th will take place in Princeton. Those of you who've been there in the past year or past 2 years, you know it's a wonderful, wonderful setting. We'll have Cantor Yaakov Stark, Pinchas Cohn, and Naftali Herstick together with the Tel Aviv Cantorial Institute. It will be sold out. No doubt it will be sold out. So those of you who are members of Cantor's World have first crack. And if there are still, if there's still room, those of you who are not members will be able to sign up. So 718-851-3226. 718-851-3226. That's the benefits of being a member of Cantor's World. This coming Wednesday night, we're going to have an experiment at Mike's Bistro on 72nd Street between Broadway and West End at 8:30. Must be prepaid, $50 full dinner, all-inclusive. You will not be able to come through the door because we must know in advance. There are several different rooms that we may have. If it's only 10 people, it'll just be a few of us, 30 people, 45. So call 718-851-3226. That's Cantor's World's office. Make the reservations. So far, Benny and I and a few friends have already committed. We've got 10 people already, as a matter of fact. Again, it's going to be a schmooze for a couple of hours. I'll bring my old Victrola, but we're going to be discussing thoughts about Chazonus. Actually, it'll be an open forum. Well, I'm so pleased that you spared that you found the time to be with us, Dr. Friedman.
Well, you made my visit between the Metropolitan and this show. It was worthwhile.
Yes.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you. It was just so memorable. And for those of you who go to Yerushalayim, you can look up Dr. Moti Friedman. He's the director of the Herzl Museum in Jerusalem. We really didn't talk much about that. Is that where you hang out?
Well, actually, yes. And there's a little some relations between Herzl and Yossel Rosenblatt.
Really?
Yeah. In Hamburg, 1909, the Congress took place. The Zionist Congress took place, and at the time, Yossel sang Anim Zmirot in the tune of Hatikva. And they, the Gaboim, they were pissed off with them because they were not so much, the Zionist was not a kosher thing at this time. Uh-huh. Anyways, but because Yossel was a really true Zionist.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, okay, that's interesting. Oh, by the way, I mentioned the U Cafe, which is on Lexington between 93rd and 94th. We're going to have an event there. A wonderful dairy restaurant if you haven't visited it on Lexington. And eventually we'll get to Brooklyn and other areas if this thing works out. Don't worry, all our Brooklyn fans, we will have an opportunity for you to have a convenient venue for a schmooze with Chazonus. But the first one we're having is on Wednesday evening at on 72nd Street, Mike's Bistro. You must call 718-851-3226. That's our office, and make a reservation. Thank you so much, Moti. We really appreciate your comments.
And, thank you for having me.
Okay, and let's see. We have one selection. It's our theme song that goes off. By the way, anyone who wishes to call and speak to Dr. Moti Friedman will be here for a few minutes at 212-529-4620. 212-529-4620. Shalom, everyone. Again, thank you so much for making past Sunday evening such an historic and memorable event. It was thrilling, and I must tell you that Benny and I are just so proud to be part of this wonderful world of Chazonus. Shalom, everyone. Okay, this is Charlie, and that was an interview from 10 years ago in 2006. Hope you enjoyed that. I have time to play one selection of Klang. I'm trying to set this up. Let me just make sure I have this correct. As you could tell from 10 years, a lot has happened. Unfortunately, the U Cafe has retired, if you will. And I do have a question. Those of you, if you're listening to this, you're absolutely one of the great fans of Chazonus. My question to you is. You remember that we used to run these Shabbos Chazanut events, and this is for many of you who are longtime listeners. you've attended them. And over the years, since Cantor's World has sort of gone on a hiatus, we have, so many have asked, when are we ever going to come back, when we will ever do another Shabbos Chazanut. They were very, very special, to say the least. So my question to you is, for those of you who are listeners who have attended the Shabbos Chazanut in the past, I'm doing a survey of your interest in having more of Shabbos Chazanut, such as we've had in the past. They were very, very spectacular events, if you will. So you know how to reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com, cbjmusic@aol.com. Just send me an email and just say you might be interested in attending our spectacular Shabbat Chazanut events. We'll go off with, let me see if this is going to, if I'm going to be able to do this. This is Klang with Zochreinu L'Chaim. Should be.
Wenn es kommen an die zehn feuchtige Tag, als es je mei tschuva, hat jeder jede bloß ein Sach in sein Machschava. Sach rein der Welt a filo a tzadik was sindig nicht und beter va der riboi noi shelo ilam zelach lanu mechalo. Porres, was zu emmeis, alle zorres, ich weich euch, ich witz am Oves, läuft in Schul. A
ganze Tag gefasst und geklagt und alle vieles gesagt. Gebet ins Licha, Mechila, es halt schon Vanilla. Wert auf den Halsen, a bissele gringen, und alle Jiden werden singen. Oi, 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 soll uns gedenken, das Leben zu schenken. Leshano Abba, Leshano Abba,
Hey, that was Yecheskel Klang, and this is Charlie Bernhout, hoping that you enjoyed this wonderful interview with my dear friend, Dr. Mati Friedman. Shalom, everyone.